This is the Europe Report with special correspondent Kanaan Lipschitz.
Kanaan, hi there. You've got Simon and Paul in studio talking to you.
Hi, Simon. I want klezmer. I want klezmer music as an intro.
So do I. Yeah, it's the turbo folk for the Jews. I'm a big...
Kanaan, tell us, what on earth are you seeing in Europe this week? What are we talking about?
Well, I'm just coming back from Macedonia, which is a tiny landlocked country north of Greece. Beautiful place, snowy mountaintops and lakes and a very mild climate with only 2 million people in the whole country, half of them concentrated in the capital, Skopje. So not very populated. Wonderful place, great people. But, you know, not exactly a tourism capital. And yet, this tiny, tiny country, which has 200 Jews, now has a multi-million dollar Holocaust museum, three floors, 1,000 square meters, designed by Michael Barenbaum, who used to head the research division of the United States Holocaust Museum.
Yes.
I just had to see it.
But what is the reason for it?
Exactly. That's kind of what I was out to find out. So I asked them, you know, guys, you just opened the permanent display. Before that, you had about 35,000 visitors a year. Not exactly something that justifies an investment of this magnitude.
Sure.
By the Jewish community and government funds. And they told me, no, you've got it completely wrong. Actually, this is the place to build a monumental Holocaust museum, because Macedonia is the country where the Nazis were most efficient at killing Jews. 98.9% of the Jewish population of Macedonia, which was about 8,000 people, was killed within 6 days in 1943.
Gosh, that is a horrific stat. I'm just interested, was it Macedonia then or was it part of Greece?
It's separate, isn't it?
Yeah, it was actually part of what would later become Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And it was under Bulgarian occupation. Now, the Bulgarians themselves, they resisted Nazi pressure. They were allied with the Nazis to deport their Jews and murder them. But they weren't quite as resolute when it came to the Jews of Macedonia under Bulgarian occupation. They just loaded them up in cattle wagons and shipped them to Treblinka, where they were killed within 3 days. The journey alone took 4 days. And, you know, it's a really one of the most impressive Holocaust museums in Europe, maybe in the world. It's something that you really don't expect in Skopje, Macedonia, a tiny city of 800,000 residents. It has three floors, and all the really unique displays, like that cattle wagon and an engine of a tank, of a Nazi Panzer tank that they used in Treblinka to produce the toxic fumes that killed people at the gas chamber, which I didn't know. And to actually see that cold machine is something really blood-curdling. But to me, the most touching and courageous element of the display was actually near the end. It's a room full of empty frames and erased pictures, family pictures of Holocaust victims, people from Macedonia who were really murdered in the gas chambers, but you can't make out their features. So I asked Michael Barenbaum, what is this?
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, this is the space of absence. And to me, this was shocking, because the whole ethos and the whole narrative of Holocaust commemoration these days is they shall not be forgotten. We shall display their faces for never again and so forth. The whole purpose is commemoration and immortalization. And here you have a space that acknowledges the oblivion, the fact that the faces of these Holocaust victims are forgotten to the world for the most part.
That's a very haunting image.
So I asked Birnbaum, don't you think it's a bit subversive? He said, well, you know, maybe, but it's also an honest admission that their faces are forgotten, even in the minds of the few people who still remembered them. I mean, Holocaust victims in general, survivors are dying out. And he told me about the empty chair that they kept at his family's home to signify the absence of his father when he died 20 years ago. And he told me, in a way, that empty chair made my father more present than he ever was.
It's really interesting. Personal anecdote. While you were talking, my mind was going involuntarily back to the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin. And for whatever reason, the image that comes to mind, the strongest image that comes to mind, is walking over those crunching pebbles.
I think that's also Birnbaum. Did he not also design that same museum?
I thought that
museum?
Was Libeskind.
No, you're right, it was Libeskind, sorry.
I'm not sure.
You're right.
But it is a haunting experience. And again, it's almost as if Holocaust architecture has become a, I don't know, it's almost become a something of itself. It's remarkable stuff. And you don't even realize that it's going to have the effect on you that it has until after you've had the experience. So what you're saying is very poignant and very touching. You compare that to the Holocaust Memorial in Yad Vashem, where there is a hall of names. That's all they do. They read out names and pictures, and, you know, one is naming them and granting them their humanity back, and the other one is saying, no, but this terrible thing happened. Quite an incredible story, Knan.
Sure.
I don't know what to do with that. Knan, thank you for your time as always. Look forward to talking to you this time next week.
See you next week.